Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego, and it's Raise Nation Radio on tour from the One Cause booth at the Metro Toronto Convention Center in Toronto, Canada, where we're bringing you coverage from AFP Icon 2024. So buckle up for conference highlights, trends in innovation, and the latest fundraising strategies. We have exclusive interviews with your peers, thought leaders, speakers, and so much more. So whether you missed the conference this year or simply didn't have the time to explore all the sessions and exhibitors, this episode of Raise Nation Radio has you covered with all the must-know happenings. So let's get going. Hey, Raise Nation, we are back at AFP Icon in Toronto, Canada, and I pulled an attendee into the hot seat that you're going to want to hear from. Everybody wants to hear from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but we have Jody Stokin from Make-A-Wish Arizona joining us, and we're going to get all of her insights about the conference. Hi, Jody. How are you? Welcome to Raise Nation Radio.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you.
We're so happy to have you here because you're definitely a nonprofit to follow. So you have a pretty deep affiliation with AFP. Not only are you here as an attendee, but I think your history and journey with the whole AFP culture goes back. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I would love to. I have been in fundraising for a little over 2 decades, and it is my second career, and I absolutely love it. And one of the things that I love the most is that there is an official association for fundraising professionals to go to in most cities and states. And in Arizona, we have the Greater Phoenix Chapter of Association of Fundraising Professionals. And somebody that I worked with introduced me to the chapter. I became a member, and I've had quite a few experiences there. I have been on the board for a couple of years. I co-chaired the National Philanthropy Day lunch for a couple of years. But most importantly, I was able to become a mentor to a younger professional and have a mentee.
So I'm not familiar with the AFP mentor program. Tell me a little bit about that.
Almost every chapter, but Phoenix particularly, has a very robust mentor-mentee program. And every year, people apply to be mentored by an older professional who's been in fundraising for a little bit longer. And that person can help them tackle some of the topics that they either struggle with at their organization or professionally are of interest to them specifically. So they fill out an application. On the flip side, they recruit some of us who have been around a little bit longer to be mentors, and they have a process by which they pair you. And once you're paired with a mentee, you meet with them several times over the course of the year. It's pretty much September to May. And then they have a presentation slash graduation for the program.
Is it a lifelong relationship?
It can be. I know a lot of people. In fact, there are two people on my team that have been through the program, and one of them talks to her cohorts all the time and her mentor all the time. And I, as you will hear, have a very special relationship with my mentee.
Okay, can we shout her out? What is her name?
Absolutely.
What's her name?
Kelly McKeever.
Kelly McKeever. Any chance she's with you here today?
So here's the fun thing. Kelly is here with me today.
She is.
Yes.
Okay, so you know what? We're going to wrap up with you in a little bit after we get a little more insights, but I'm going to get Kelly in this hot seat to see this flip side of this mentee.
That would be fantastic.
And it's kind of like Make-A-Wish almost in the pairing, like wishers, dream. What do we call it? Help me out.
Wish granters.
That's right. I knew I was on to something.
You were.
So we all know the Make-A-Wish brand. Let's segue there. And we all know the mission. But sometimes I wonder, do we truly know? So I'm going to stop and let you let the world know once again. I mean, it's a wonderful brand. We all think that we're granting wishes every day, but what is the mission of the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
The Make-A-Wish Foundation grants wishes to critically ill children, and they're transformational. And the whole goal is to bring joy, strength, and hope to a critically ill child. And so they can overcome some of the trauma from the situation they're in. The wonderful thing about Make-A-Wish that not a lot of people realize is 70% of the children today outlive their diagnosis. And we like to talk about that all the time because people say, even though there's so much joy around the wish, it's so sad, but really it is tremendously joyful to be a part of Make-A-Wish and to see children many years later become transformed by their wish. I've met a young man who wanted to be a fighter pilot for his wish, and now he's an airline pilot.
Yeah.
And now there's a woman in our Southern Arizona area who is a pediatric oncology nurse on the very same floor of the very same hospital
where
she was treated when she was going through cancer herself.
Yeah.
So,
and I was hoping you'd go there because I think the world knows there's a very sick child, terminally ill child, has a wish, and then there's wish granters. But I don't know that they know the bigger story, the transformation, the journey, and the statistic that you mm-hmm. just brought forward about how helpful it is in the process of what they're going through, and that it is transformative and it is life-changing. It's so much more than that one day at Disney or whatever that wish is.
There's a wish journey. We like to call it the wish journey.
Okay.
And it is part of helping a child have something to look forward to. It's very hard when you have treatments and you're always in the hospital and your and the families themselves face the same situation where mom and dad, like one's in charge of the child who's in the hospital and the other is running the other people in the family. So in addition to the child having the wish, there's so many struggles that families go through when they have a critically
emotional,
ill child.
Financial, keeping
everything.
The household going.
You're exactly right with that. And they have so many struggles. And the fact that they get to go do something together that brings
reconnects
them all
the
joy.
Family.
One mom said to me, I just want my other children to experience something with their sister that doesn't involve a hospital room or an ambulance.
Yeah. Oh,
she goes, I want a different memory. And that's what a wish can create.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So how does a brand like Make-A-Wish come to AFP to further their impact? Like, what were you hoping to gain, look into? Or, I mean, you've done an amazing job with the work that you do. How do you move that needle forward? What are you getting out of AFP to help you do that?
Well, first of all, I'm a true believer in education and all that AFP has to offer for the fundraising professionals. For our team, we like to come here. It's time that we can spend learning about new things. Like, I think for myself, I'm focused on AI for
a lot
this
about
conference.
That.
There's a lot of new technology. Where do we intersect with it? How does it work with the tools that we're already using and other types of giving that are happening? There's DAFs, there's all kinds of tools out there, and really having an opportunity to come and listen to other renowned professionals and then have the time together while we're here. We just at lunch, we did our own little debrief about
good.
Who went to what. We try to split up and go down different tracks so we can come back and have that varied experience and talk to one another about things that we want to bring forward for our new strategic plan, which will start. We've got an odd fiscal year. It starts September 1. So we'll be planning ours soon. So we'd be able to bring all these ideas back to the table and say, what will help enhance Make-A-Wish is phenomenal. And
yeah, have you written the book?
We're granting wishes, and our chapter, and it all started in Arizona. So we call it ground zero. We're the 001 chapter.
Nice.
And we're on track to do the most wishes ever this fiscal year.
How many wishes is that?
450 for our chapter.
One year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you were the first.
We were the first. The very first wish happened in Arizona, and a little boy named
Was
Chris.
That a mom with his, let me see if I know the story. Mom had a little boy who he had some type of superhero. Was it? He wanted to
be a police officer.
Okay. That's
it was
what
Chips,
it was.
The show Chips, remember?
Oh, okay. That's right. And that wish was granted.
Mm-hmm.
And there it all started.
And Linda, his mom,
okay,
lives 1 mile from our office, visits us all the time and brings us donuts. We see her often and we have lots of shared history. We're going to have a 45-year anniversary, but April is World Wish Month for the very first time globally, and April 29th is World Wish Day, and that's the anniversary date of Chris's wish.
Oh, is that, those are new
Well, there's always been a World Wish Day.
Okay.
But World Wish Month for the first time ever is the
this
month
year,
of
2024.
April. Just got launched that I think you'll probably see Make-A-Wish stuff all over. There's a lot of national companies that are helping celebrate. And then there'll be this huge celebration on April 29th.
Oh my gosh. Oh, have a great April. That's
Thank
a busy
you.
Month, isn't
it, is.
It?
It is.
All right. So any standout moments? Because again, I feel that Make-A-Wish has written the book. So what more are you going to do? But you're going to keep furthering that impact. So what are the standout moments from AFP?
Well, we had one this morning. I want to shout out to Marcy Keim.
Okay.
Who did a major gifts presentation at 8 a.m. Had all of us singing and sang a song herself, which I recorded. And I'm going to bring that presentation back to our team because it was so inspiring that we absolutely loved it. So for me, that was our standout.
That was
moment.
Your standout. So how do you package this up, all of the learnings, and distribute it and navigate the changes once you get back?
Well, one of the things I love now about the AFP conference, and it goes back to technology, in the app, they have all the presentations that you can download and they will record all the sessions. So when you go home, you get to take the conference with you and you're able to download and keep it on your whatever device you want, or put it in your shared drive for your team to share. And then I'm going to turn around on next week, April 18th, and put something together for my team. I'm going to include some of this stuff that we've learned.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, happy so many things, right?
Thank you. I mean,
it's congratulations on being such a wonderful mentor.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to talking to your mentee and carrying that journey a little bit further. But just your insights and everything that you do to impact the communities and to change lives, you really are. I mean, I know you call it wish granting, but it's a very transformative journey. We work with Make-A-Wish extensively through our fundraising platform. But aside from that, we've worked with you like in our Indie Tech Gives program, and we've got to learn all of the stories and the journeys, and we just feel so connected to Make-A-Wish. And I hope the whole world is connected to Make-A-Wish.
I love that. And I hope they are too, because
there's
nothing better than granting a wish.
Nothing better. I know that. Well, thank you for joining. I know you have so much to see. They have like, what, 9 tracks and 9 different sessions in 1 hour. And we have the solar eclipse coming in a little bit.
Yeah.
That's right. So I don't want you to miss any. Thank you for taking the time to stop by and chat with us. Don't be a stranger. And we want to hear how your April turns out with all of the anniversaries and special things that you're celebrating. Have a great month.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Well, we're back and we found her. So Raise Nation Radio, you may have heard a previous mini interview today with Jody from Make-A-Wish. And we spoke about the AFP mentor-mentee relationships, which was new to me. I didn't know too much about it, but Jody shared a very special relationship with her mentee, Kelly, and we found her and she's here. We pulled her out of a very busy schedule to sit in the hot seat and talk to us. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Oh,
I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. I'm such a pleasure to have you. And thank you for taking some time out of your day.
Gosh, of course.
So we talked to Jody, your mentor.
My mentor.
Oh, look how you say that. How sweet. So tell us a little bit about that relationship, the AFP mentor-mentee relationship. What did that mean to you? How did it further your career? And it looks like a relationship that's going to continue, like a lifelong relationship. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, so when I started at Make-A-Wish, I was fairly new to the nonprofit space and fundraising almost completely. I had come from a for-profit sales job. And after kind of finding footing, I was fortunate enough to attend AFP Icon in Vegas 2 years ago. And I got to hear a little bit about the mentorship program there. And then my former supervisor, now just one of my really good friends, Brenna, had gone through the program and, you know, mentioned how beneficial it was to her. And it just really, the big thing was allowing everyone with new professionals in the fundraising space to really get to see the different aspects of fundraising, the different departments within development and what, you know, each person does, which was incredibly eye-opening for me. But going back to when I first started, it was part of an individual development plan I'd made for myself to find a mentor that was really experienced and just that in large varieties of industries as well, not necessarily just nonprofit, but had worked in other industries and spaces where they could kind of, you know, guide me as I started my journey through fundraising, which is, you know, just crazy. But
I know. tough but rewarding job.
Oh, for
crazy is a good way to describe it.
And it's just the range, I think, is every time I kind of have the realization of it, it never
ends.
Surprising me now.
But infinite.
Yes. And I was really lucky. I had actually met with Jody at her previous nonprofit, took a tour of, you know, their office and saw everything they were doing, which was really great. And then when I applied for the program and I found out she was going to be my mentor, I was beyond excited.
Perfect match.
Oh my God. I was over the moon. And I just had known how amazing of a fundraiser she was and all the hard work she's put into different nonprofits, but to also get more of her background from before and her, you know, previous career, I think was really helpful. And like I had mentioned, it was important that I kind of got that guidance on, you know, everything, not necessarily just making the ask and other pieces like that. So.
And then she ends up at Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
So I feel like stars were aligned. It was meant to be.
Yes,
it was a match made in heaven.
Make-A-Wish stars were aligned. We had, I think, our very first intro session where we met and kind of talked about the program and the project piece of it all. And then by the second meeting, she had become my boss and my supervisor.
Oh my gosh.
Not my direct supervisor, but yes, yeah. my boss. But it was, I mean, sorry, I'm trying to think how to say it. It was so crazy to get to not only, you know, I feel like I got such a bigger piece of the program because I got to watch her operate on a daily basis, like see how she works and
deeper.
Yeah. And, you know, I obviously it's not something everyone in the program will get to experience,
right.
But to know that I kind of got that extra little piece and I mean, I lucked out just beyond.
So what do you do at Make-A-Wish? What is your role?
So I am the events specialist.
So you're using the OneCause software?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry. We'll talk about it. Yes. So, well, it's funny. I mentioned this earlier at AFP Icon in Vegas. My first time, I had met with a couple different booths and platforms. And a couple weeks after the conference, I had a package sitting at my desk and opening it, and it's like, congrats, Kelly, you won our OneCause giveaway. I'm like, oh my gosh, you did this. And then
you did.
Yes, I think it was some swag.
OneCause is swag. We got good swag.
It was great. And then, well, it was like AirTags too, Apple AirTags. I don't know, but it was so fun. And then when our director of new events came on and we were looking for a different platform, that like, immediately. So return on investment for you guys. For sure.
We're just trying to do a giveaway.
Oh, no, I know. But hey, it did work.
So you're using a platform.
Yes.
Okay. So about a couple years now?
Yes. Well, so we just had our first gala using it.
Wish gala?
Yes. Our wish ball.
Wish ball. That's right.
The software, and it was awesome. So, I mean, we had always your team on the ground at registration, I think, really just changed
it was
so great. And to see like some of our longtime attendees tell us, you know, this is the best registration we've ever had.
Because we need to deliver seamless, efficient,
easy. It's the first thing when you see
your
social media, but you know, when they enter your event, that is the tone essentially you're kind of setting past that point. So it was definitely important for us to try to, you know, streamline it as best as possible. And I think the platform helps just.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, so thank you.
Did you use the QR code?
Oh, of course.
Oh, she says, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
So how do donors, you know, with the very modern, flexible platform that the OneCause software provides, it is somewhat donor driven and you put the control in the donor's hands with the QR code and other features. How did your audience adapt to that? And how nerve-wracking was it for you to give up that control?
Well, I'll preface it by saying Rome was not built in a day.
Yeah, there you go.
There was definitely still some of us, you know, entering a lot of information on their behalf through the platform. Not, you know, I wouldn't say the majority of attendees, but, you know, specifically some of our, you know, older donors and attendees just struggled with it more. But again, it's our first time using it. So I think we'll see even a bigger jump in it this next year of people registering and inputting on their own, because it was truly so seamless. And it is a little nerve-wracking, like you mentioned, to kind of give up that control of having that direct hand on it. But, you know, it would also present us with some surprises. We would see people purchase tables and tickets on there and think, oh, you know,
add on revenue. Person. We'll never say,
oh my gosh, absolutely.
Right.
But again, the QR piece of it was just change. I think the attendees who like that we kind of gave them that control, like that piece of being able to manage, you know, their table, their attendees, certain, you know, additional pieces to the event that they could really, you know, have that more hands-on.
And I think there's feeling that with other experiences outside of nonprofit. I mean, my mom, who's in her 80s, knows what a QR code is.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's anything we learned from COVID, we all have QR code scammed on our phones.
All your smartphones and QR codes.
Oh, I still will, I think, pull up menus online if I'm sitting in a restaurant and someone else has it. You're like, I'll just grab it on my phone. It's here. So
there you go.
It will be an adjustment, but even I felt like it truly was fairly smooth. And, you know, my amazing boss, Rachel, and I are still, you know, discovering new things about it. Ultimately, that when we launch for our...
It's robust.
Yes. When we launch for our next year's gala, we'll really be able to kind of, you know, see the full image and picture of it all. And I think that'll make it just... 10 times more efficient.
We want to make your job easier so that you can concentrate on more important things like the guests.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's get back to AFP a little bit. What are some standout moments? What have you learned? What are you bringing back to the office when you get back on Tuesday? When are you going back? Tomorrow, Wednesday?
Yes, Tuesday.
I know, we start to lose track of what day it is, don't we?
I know. Well, at first it was on a Sunday. I'm like, well, it feels like...
Yeah, I don't know what day it is.
Just every time I'm able to kind of interact with additional professionals, it's really, it's an eye-opening experience too. Obviously, we are a larger nonprofit, but then when you meet with other fundraising professionals that work at like major hospitals and universities, and then you're connecting with people that, you know, fundraise for public libraries and arts programs. So I think it's that huge range it's good, because otherwise I think you can become really siloed with your level of fundraising, your level of nonprofit. So it's to see how different nonprofits at different levels are fundraising and, you know, growing and developing it's aspirational with bigger ones. And then, you know, it's very different this time around versus my first year, because I hadn't even had a year of experience at my first conference. And then now I'm almost at about 3 years. So it's been a night and day from the first one. And
well,
this
2 years from now, we'll see you speaking on a stage.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, I'm crossing off bucket list items on a podcast. So
we're so
knows by then. Yeah.
We're so lucky to have you on Raise Nation Radio.
Oh my gosh.
So I have an invitation for you. We're doing mini episodes here because we're trying to cover as much as we can of the conference.
Oh,
but what if we invited you back to just do a full episode just with Kelly? How about that?
Sure.
We can talk about all things fundraising and events. What I'm really interested in to get deep with you is some trends in events.
Yeah.
You know, you wrote the book, Make-A-Wish Brand, you know, is one to be copied after.
You are so kind.
There were
so many amazing event professionals that said, I mean, like within our chapter, truly, because I was an intern for Make-A-Wish when I was in college, and the, you know, previous directors of events, my previous supervisor/mentor, like they couldn't have paved a clearer road for how to, you know, pull off these really great events. And then, you know, obviously post COVID, things have been tweaked and you have to adjust with the times, but I'm, you know, I could not be more grateful for all of the Make-A-Wish Arizona event professionals that came before me. And then, you know, hopefully we can, you know, set it up for a really long line of just success. And it, you know, I'm an Arizona native and Make-A-Wish was founded in Arizona.
I know.
So yes, to kind of bring not only that pride back to AZ, but just the whole overall showing the message of or the mission of our organization and bringing in new folks from everywhere. It's just, and you know, I think events are a great way to do it, especially post-COVID. I feel like
we all want to be at events again.
I just want
to gather.
I know. And it's that drive for connection. And I think too, that's fundraising events are so great because you all already have something in common. You are a fan of the organization. So right away, like these people, you have that connection with them and then showing them more about the mission or helping them, you know, connect with one another. It's just, it's why I love, I think, specifically working within the events department. It's rewarding. Every event you can see, whether it's, you know, you help someone make a new friend and you brought someone in as a volunteer, you brought in a new donor, you've, you know, inspired someone to plan their own event that will benefit us. So it's the gift that
keeps on giving.
Something about an event, there's that moment where you take a step back and there's all the chaos around you and you're like,
I love
wow.
it. Wow. It's so fun.
Wow. Just an adrenaline rush.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always like people right before Wish Ball, the night before, everyone's like, are you guys feeling any nervous? And I always have a mindset of, well, it's tomorrow. We really can't do much.
Right? There's no choice. There's no choice.
I'm usually eerily calm, kind of like the day
you need
before
to be.
In the morning of an event. I'm like, well,
we're here.
Yes, it's beyond me at this point.
At this point,
beyond
yeah.
my control.
Well,
but
you're young
things.
In your career, yeah. but I will say, super impressive.
Oh gosh,
I'm speaking to you like I've spoken to veteran fundraisers. But what I really love about you is that you started your career with a lot of education, as an intern, as a mentee, coming to conferences. Year one.
Thank you.
And
yeah, well,
that's impressive.
And again, like I can't speak enough about how Make-A-Wish Arizona has just set me up and really, I mean, our leadership, I think about it a lot, just beyond lucky that I've had leaders that want to invest their time in, you know, helping me grow. And it feels like they want me not to only grow as a fundraiser, but just as a person. And I think
that, I love that.
that's the difference, I think. I could never get this lucky twice. And it's the leadership I have now. It's, you know, past leaders that might not be with the organization anymore, but still, you know, impacted me. The whole reason I'm actually in the fundraising space, because it wasn't, my big joke is if you ask a lot of people in fundraising, it's usually was never part of their, and it definitely, it wasn't necessarily on my radar. But when I was in college, I took a course on fundraising and development for my minor, which is special event management. And I had never really thought about it. And Tori Taj, who's the president or the CEO of Child Crisis Arizona, was the professor. And it was kind of, she worked with Jody at Jody's Prometheus organization, and they were also here at the conference. So I got to tell her.
So many connections and memories.
Yeah, I said, I'm like, I'm here because of you, honestly.
Oh, so, wow, that's so sweet.
I mean, just to see, you know, someone, and I think that too, when leaders like Jody, like our president and CEO, Fran Malice, when they go out and just speak so passionately about not only their mission, but about fundraising and the work in general, it's, you know, I wish more young people got the opportunity to hear, because I feel like it should be something that is more on people's radar and their roadmap as you're going through school, as you're, you know, planning your career. And a lot of people, I feel like, stumble into it, which is great. You know, everyone's journey.
But you're very intentional.
Yeah. Well, but I felt like I never really heard about it a lot, you know, in school.
As an option.
No. Yeah. Because they want to, you know, focus on you know, what's going to have good benefits, make, you know, give you a comfortable life, and which is great, but.
But you can have that in fundraising.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And with fundraising, you also have the reward.
Oh yeah.
You
know? When I left my for-profit job, I felt like, you know, a lot of my accounts that I'd worked with were very much like, oh, how altruistic, like so selfless. And I mean, it's nice to hear, but at the same time, like, I don't feel like I'm, you know.
You don't feel like you gave anything up.
No. Yeah. I didn't sacrifice to, you know, make.
You are a bright light. You're so refreshing. Oh my gosh. You're a bright light.
Stop.
Well, I know you have a lot to do here at the conference, and we're going to stop for a moment for this solar eclipse thing.
I know.
Yeah.
I
want to let you get to that, but let me ask you one more question before I let you go.
Sure.
What does it mean to you that you're contributing to these wishes that are transformative for these families? What does it mean to you?
I mean, it's so hard to put into words.
I'm sure.
That was another thing I got a lot of too when I started at Make-A-Wish. I think, you know, a lot of people are still very much under the perception that it is for terminally ill children. And I'm not sure if Jody mentioned or not, but 70% of children outlive their illnesses and grow into adulthood. And, you know, while, you know, I couldn't feel more for the 30%, to have that 70% and to know that you're. I'm going to go back for a second. When I started making push, everyone's like, that's got to be tough. That's got to be a lot. That's, you know,
a lot of weight.
That's got to be. Yeah. And truly, I feel there are days that are really hard, but I feel so much towards the opposite feeling of, you know, I'm with helping these families get one of, for some of them, the best day of their life. And that's the thing. It is the most motivating. It is the most uplifting to get to, you know, like I said, we are creating these really special moments. And I mean, our program team, the Wish managers and the Wish team, phenomenal. But, you know, I see our development team just work so hard to raise the money to fund these wishes. And
400 and something this year, right?
Yeah. So it was, 425,
wow.
I believe. Yes, our goal is 450 for this year. So,
okay.
And we will get there. We will do it. It means everything, you know. I think about, you know, I have some friends that, you know, they like their jobs, and I just get.
You're living your why.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Every day. And it's. I think about, you know, Wish families I've met and how they've changed my life, and
wow,
how, you know, it's just a gift that essentially does really keep on giving, because, and like I said, there are the days that are hard. There's so many more that are just, you know, phenomenal.
Celebratory.
And yeah. Well, and I think the outreach of a Wish is, you know, when you think about a Wish, you think about the Wish kid, and that's who we are granting this for. We are bringing their one true wish to life. But behind them are parents, their, you know, siblings, grandparents, communities, people that have, you know, been supporting them through their medical journeys, that are also getting to see the hope and the strength that the wishes are bringing to them. And then they're feeling it too. And it's just the ripple effects that one wish has, I think, is. It's beyond what we could probably measure.
Yeah, so, of course.
I mean, you know, my sweet dad will, every time he sees a wish on the news, or, you know, see it come up like on his web browser, he'll send me the links. Like, oh, way to go, bud. I know, even if they're in different chapters and we had nothing, you know.
Yeah.
It's just.
It's all the same family.
And it's, but it's just the outreach, I think, and the impact.
One circle
within
of
a
connection.
Community. Yeah. Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's well, amazing. I have so enjoyed. You inspired me.
Oh my gosh.
I think you've inspired so many, you know, young adults to even consider, you know, a role in fundraising or development and missions. Now, what's your star? What is that little star?
Oh, that's our Make-A-Wish Wish star. It glows
beautiful.
In the dark. I know. I'm hoping maybe with the eclipse it'll.
Oh, do a little something.
Shine
you have to
a
let us
bit.
Know.
Yes, I know. We always joke. It's like anytime you're shopping and you see something in royal blue, it's
buy it
immediately, add to cart.
Yeah add to cart.
Like,
oh,
I'll wear it somewhere.
Gotta be always branding, always vibing the brand.
Yes.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. Please come back. I really would love to invite you back.
Oh,
we're gonna have one segment just on all the things that trends in fundraising that you're seeing, because Make-A-Wish does write the book and we can share that with other nonprofits.
Yeah. But, oh, I would absolutely love it. I love events.
You're mirroring, so. Or you have your people call my people, which means just email me.
Yeah. I'll text you like when I get out of the chair.
Fantastic.
We'll plan something.
All right. It's a date. We have a great conference. Thanks, Kelly, so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We'll get you back on again. But for now, AFP, we're going to let her go back into the wild.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome back, Grace Nation. And here we are once again at AFP Icon in Toronto, Canada. And I pulled over an attendee who has been enjoying the conference, and she's going to share a little bit about her mission. So happy to welcome our next guest. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Janelle Hines, and I'm the founder and executive director at Helping Hands. And I'm actually located here in Toronto.
In Toronto. We have a Toronto native.
Yes.
Wow. So you, so young, you're the founder and executive director. Give me the story. I spill the tea. How did this all come about?
So as a fact, in Ontario, in order to actually graduate and get our Ontario High School diploma, you actually have to do 40 hours of community service. And I actually noticed a lot of my peers were struggling to figure out where to volunteer. And then I was finding out students in other schools weren't graduating because of this requirement, despite passing all their courses.
40 hours. Okay.
And it didn't feel like that much, but I realized there was so much of a barrier. I was fortunate that my parents helped me figure out where to volunteer, and I had resources in my community I can go to. But recognize that especially, you know, I live in a very highly newcomer area, and that a lot of them don't have that same support. So I was in high school, I kind of started helping my peers, went to university, kept doing it, and I graduated and I was like, you know what? I think I need to do this full time.
Wow, that is a story. So how's it going? Tell us a little bit about the mission and how you've impacted the communities and students in Toronto and the surrounding areas.
It's great. I'm actually going on probably about 8-9 years of doing this now,
wow.
7 of those full time. So it's been great to be able to fundraise enough to be able to provide all of our services free to students. So we do everything from workshops to one-on-one support, helping them write their resume, actually helping them even realize, oh, I did volunteer. How do I actually translate this and understand what skills I learned while I was volunteering?
Wow, what a service. You have to bring this international, I think.
Yes, I've been asked by a lot of Americans. You're like, oh, are you in America? I'm like, not yet.
That's a good answer. So when you were planning to come to AFP Icon this year, what was on your hit list? What did you want to see, learn about, or why?
So right now we are heavily grant funded. We are very fortunate to have a lot of government support. But I really want to make sure I diversify that. I don't want to be in a situation where we're not able to provide our services to use. So I'm actually looking at how do I do more individual giving or look at planned giving. And that's something that I have not touched at all.
Wow.
So I've learned a lot. I already have a great to-do list on just improving my online giving. So I'm so looking forward to so many more sessions and then learning about so many different technology platforms, because this is the biggest nonprofit conference I've been to.
Wow.
Like ever.
I'm so impressed. You wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
So programming, fundraising, stewarding your donors, grants. How do you get it all done? What advice do you have to the people out there?
I actually would say the biggest one is learning what you actually can't do and making sure you give it finding that support. So while I do love the human resources side, I had someone come to me just to do some admin work. Found out she was a newcomer to Canada, wanted to do HR, but was struggling to find a job. And I was like, do you want to do HR for me?
Here we go. Yes.
And it's great because on top of everything we do, I've lost, I'll admit, I wish I knew the number off the top of my head, but I know in just the past couple of years, over 200 youth have their first job or first co-op with us directly.
Wow.
So she's able to she's constantly doing the interviews, helping them. And then after her co-op students leave, we even help them try to find jobs else.
So tell us a success story. Tell us a little bit about how you've impacted the students and what attraction that they're getting from your program.
I will say you asked a great question. I love when I get the messages from youth, even sometimes it's like a year or two later. And like, Janelle, the thing that you helped me do, like, this is what I'm doing now. So we've had youth who have we've helped them figure out. I'll say healthcare is one of the ones that are actually really hard and competitive to even find a volunteer space. But we've managed to help some youth do that. And later on, they're applying to med school and they'll message me for like their reference. And then be like, Janelle, I got into med school. And like,
oh,
the way that it gives me the energy for the rest of the week, yes, I am on cloud nine when they get in.
Oh my God, your beautiful soul. The work that you're doing is just so servant and good for you. That's really great. So how do people get involved?
Yeah, so they can find us at helpinhandsapp.com. And, you know, if they want, whether it's you want me to help your high school student or even university student volunteer, find a co-op. I have an amazing team of frontline workers that will sit down free one-on-one and have conversations with you. And then they go out and they do all the research for you and present it back to you. And then if you're like, I don't know how to write my resume, they'll do that step with you.
Wow. Our youth is just so fortunate to have you in their back corner. You really do need to expand. We need to see you in the States real soon.
All right. I'll learn way more in the next 2 days to figure out how I can expand to the U.S. now.
So when you leave the conference, what's one of the first things that you're going to do from a takeaway from the show, from the conference?
Immediately, I fix my online giving because I will say it is not that great.
That was a direct learn from here.
Direct learn immediately. I love the session I went to. They had like actionable takeaways. And I find that's what's so great about AFP. It's not just the networking. It's here's how you can actually fix so many different parts of giving, because fundraising isn't one thing. It's so many
things. Well, you have accomplished so much in such a young age, a short time. We applaud what you're doing. We're behind you 100%. Keep going. You have to come back and check in with us and let us know.
I will.
And I definitely want that phone call when you're going to be moving your programming into on the other side of the border
100%,
there.
And I'm so glad to see your services, even like text to give. I'm like, oh, that would be so great, because even we would love to figure out how young people that now do have some disposable income and want to give, how to make it easy as possible for them to give.
Easy as that's the name of the game. Make it easy as for your donors. Well, you've been so refreshing. It's been such a pleasure. And thank you for letting us learn a little bit more about your mission and what you're doing.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Have a great conference.
Thank you.
Hey there, Raise Nation. Welcome back to Raise Nation Radio, live from the AFP Icon in Toronto, Canada. We are broadcasting from the One Cause booth, and I was able to bring over one of my favorite colleagues to chat a little bit about fundraising and innovation. Please welcome Mr. Steve Lausch, Director of Product Marketing from One Cause. Steve, sorry to pull you away, but thank you for joining us on Raise Nation Radio.
Hello, Dawn. It's good to be back with you here on Raise Nation Radio and live from AFP. What is going on? This is great.
I know. Check out this studio audience here. We got this. Describe the scene here. You can see what's going on.
I'll tell you, the most exciting thing that I'm seeing right now is the exhibit hall floor has just opened up. So we've got fundraisers from across the globe just flooding the halls, now coming into the One Cause booth. It is busy. It is a beautiful sight. This is fun. This is super fun. And your studio is right here in the One Cause booth, booth 707.
Imagine that. Technology.
We're sitting here, folks. We're in the two of the comfiest white chairs.
Thank you, marketing.
We got our boom mics. Like, this looks legit.
Yeah.
Hopefully it sounds legit.
I think it does. All right. Well, since we're sitting in the One Cause booth, booth 707, and you're director of product marketing, I think you should be able to answer this question.
Uh-oh. On the spot. Here we go.
Here we go.
Stump the chump.
What are we showing here at the One Cause booth? What's new? What's exciting? What's the future of fundraising?
Oh, man. It is all about the One Cause fundraising platform, Dawn. It really is. So folks that have been with us, customers that have been with us for the years, know us from our mobile bidding software that we brought first to market.
2008. A long time ago.
Yeah, I think I was graduating from college.
No, don't give away your age.
I'm a little older than that. But that software is certainly an industry leader. It has helped, 70,000 campaigns, 11,000 nonprofits served.
And how much raised on that platform?
It's not a small number, $6.5 billion with a B.
Billion with a B.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Just to think of all the impact.
Just driving the impact, sure.
But some folks, I'll use this term. Some folks call it the legacy software. And it is. It has left an amazing legacy. But the One Cause fundraising platform, it's the new chapter.
Yeah.
It's the new thing. And the key here, Dawn, is that when we set out to build the next generation of fundraising software, we wanted something that was answering the call to being modern. doing things the way people do things today.
Because consumers are donors and donors are consumers.
Yeah, they don't walk into the ballroom and all of a sudden take off their consumer hat, right?
Yeah, no. And let's face it, technology has progressed all around us with how we do things and the expectations that we have and the experiences that we have. It needs to be in fundraising as well.
And those experiences, not just on the donor side, right? That's on the fundraiser side. It's on the nonprofit side. They want to do things differently. They want to break the mold. They want to think outside the box. Fundraising needs to be flexible and it needs to be easy.
And is that what the One Cause fundraising platform is?
Yeah. That's what we're showing off
Smart.
Here. I'll give you one example.
Okay.
One example. And then we can move on. We got other great things to talk about. But one example would be the AI that we built into the One Cause fundraising platform. And we've done that a couple of ways. Most folks by now have heard of generative AI. So
I'm a fan.
You are. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, you have a nonprofit as well, right?
I do.
And
well, it's not mine. It's Alyssa's,
yes,
my daughter. I think our audience knows Alyssa's nonprofit by now. Steve, do you know how many hours I've spent creating auction package titles and descriptions to the point that you're glossed over and have no creative juices left and really not the stamina to steward your donors, which, you know.
And it's like, can I really come up with a 37th auction item description at 2 a.m.?
Right. Of course. It's always 2 a.m.
But you know what? That's what generative AI does so well. We have found with the, let's see, what do we have now? Over 2,000 nonprofits using the platform. So it's catching fire quickly. That it has shaved off up to 8 hours of work.
I'll take
on
it.
The auction alone. That's not, you know, the generative AI that can go into descriptions for your fixed price items, your raffles, even your online donation forms, the stories and the narrative there. But that's just one part of AI. The other part that I want to mention real quick is the machine learning that we've built based on like 40,000 auctions and 4 million data points.
4 million.
What did I say?
4 million data points.
Yeah, 4 million.
Wow. Okay.
I know. We need to aim higher next year. But what this does is this, and you'll recognize this from what you see in Prime and what you see in our,
any
different places,
e-commerce
Netflix
experience.
Yes. We detect this kind of visitor. So we're going to serve up this kind of content. Well, we do that with auction items, and it's bumping up engagement and proceeds up to 25%.
25%.
Just by turning the thing on.
You know, I mean, they get me every time. I mean, I rely on Netflix to know what I'm going to watch next.
Yeah.
And my shopping experiences, I go for one item and that easily turns into five.
Well, that's what's happening.
Right. So why shouldn't it be in the fundraising universe?
And well, it is. And now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come by the One Cause booth. Check it out.
Come on.
We have more going on. I know there's a lot to talk about from booth 1707. But let's talk about what's going on tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Do you know?
That is exciting. We have our Vice President of National Accounts, Emily Newberry, and Sarah Sebastian.
Dynamic duo.
Yes. Director of Corporate Marketing or Corporate Communication. And she also does our events, right?
She did this beautiful booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. I know our listeners can't see it, but maybe we can take a picture and post it. I'm sure it'll be all over Instagram, but yes. So they are speaking.
It's early.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm an early riser. I know you are.
I am too. And it's worth getting up for this one. Tell our listening audience what they are
intentional
about. Yes.
Intentional inclusivity in fundraising.
Yes.
In other words, don't leave any donor behind.
Well, and what they're going to do is walk through the hows.
Actionable. I love actionable.
Actionable,
session.
Practical. And we've talked about this before, Don. Fundraising is an art decades long, right? And centuries long, frankly. And though technology has only joined us here within the last, few decades, we need better ways over time to marry the two. And sometimes we end up leaving audiences out.
Yeah.
We try new methods, we try new strategy, and Sarah and Emily are just going to kind of pull it together for us and really help us see. I think they're going to focus in on events specifically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do have to broaden your reach and activate groups and be inclusive in that approach. Aside from the fact that it will grow impact, it's also the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's ethically the right approach, but it has a impactful and meaningful outcome. So win-win.
Yeah. So folks, I know you're listening to this after the fact, but
catch it on demand.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Catch it on
demand. It's worth it. It'll be good.
All right,
great.
What else do we have going on? I'm liking the books that I'm seeing here at the AFB icon. There's one special book that...
That's a good thing for us to close on here.
I think so.
So we have the OneCause CEO, our CEO, Steve Johns. He is here on site, and he was engaged in a little project over the last couple of years, writing a book called Fearless. You have the whole title.
Fearless Leadership Lessons at the Crossroads.
There you go.
And yes, he is the author, but you know, Steve, as humble as he is, he'll say that he's an accidental author and that this is our story. It's a story of resilience. It's a story of servant leadership. It's a story that kind of explains the culture that we have at OneCause. We really do progress servant leaders here. We're one with our customers for sure. And it's a leadership style that Steve should be proud of.
Yeah.
And it's time to share it with the world.
And it came out of that.
Don't say it.
Yeah, I'm going to say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Okay.
It came out of those years with the pandemic.
It did.
Because, it hit, look, folks, it hit us.
And everybody.
And everybody.
Hard.
Like a ton of bricks. Like it did everybody. And it just brings to between a hardcover. What? Oh, you can get it digitally too on Amazon, right, Katie?
And Barnes and Noble.
Okay. Yeah. But it brings that whole story to like how Steve and the leadership at OneCause rallied the troops, pushed through what we needed to keep in mind, what we needed to remind ourselves about every day. And Dawn, I don't know about you, but I found that so inspiring.
Steve wrote to us every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Every week. I remember like I didn't want to leave my desk. Until I got that message from him. It was so inspiring.
And now those messages are captured in this book.
In the
Fearless.
Book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he explains it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Where his thought process was, making hard decisions. I mean, there's 16 leadership lessons in that book?
People should pick
and
it up.
And it has their roots in stoicism. It's fantastic. Well, I'm biased, but.
Easy read.
It is.
Powerful read.
Mm-hmm.
Good read. People need to pick it up. And for those who, I got to keep remembering that people are listening to this after the fact, but. Those who can buy it at the bookstore here will need to come to our booth and get that signed because Steve's here to sign it.
Yeah.
Sharpie in hand.
Steve is here. Mm-hmm. I saw him bright and early this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you know, I think we have a lot of fearless fundraisers to connect with. And I know I see a lineup of people here waiting for you, but I can't thank you enough for sitting down, joining. It's so much fun.
It's always fun.
We got to bring this whole setup on the road.
Let's go.
Raise Nation on tour. What do you think?
Where are we going to go? We're in Toronto, Canada. Where are we going to go next?
Well, I know one stop will be Nashville, Tennessee for the Raise Conference.
Okay, listen, let's extend this little segment 2 minutes.
I think we should.
What's going on in Nashville? September 9 and 10.
The 8th annual.
Oh, my word.
You go.
Raise Conference.
That's right.
It is the best, Dawn.
It is. Well, you know why? Because the sessions, they're all CFRE.
Yeah.
All quality.
Yeah.
We listened to our audience. We had over 200 speaking submissions. And we are just...
200 people submitted to speak there.
Over
200.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means, translated to all our listeners, is you are getting the best
of the best. Best
of
content.
The best content.
Best content.
This, yeah. It is an amazing, and Dawn, we've been to a number of fundraising conferences in the nonprofit sector.
But, and so many good ones.
And we are biased. I'm going to say that. Okay. We are biased, but it is the best bang for your buck. The content, the engagement, the networking, and that party.
People come back year over year.
That party.
Did you dance last year?
Oh my gosh.
No, you did.
Yeah, I was dancing. Oh.
And guess what, Steve? Right now we have a BOGO offer going on.
I mean.
So the value just got better.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great con. Anyway, if you are unfamiliar with Raise, you need to go check it out. onecause.com/raise. Mm-hmm. There's everything you need to know. And there's that special Don was just talking about. Yeah, you need to be there.
I'll be there. Are you going to be there, Steve?
Be there. I'm going to be there for sure.
And we'll have Raise Nation Radio there as well. Maybe you'll come back and join us.
I would love to.
Great. Well, for now, for all you fearless fundraisers, have a great AFP conference, or we hope you had a great AFP conference. If you need anything or you missed one cause, you know where to find us. Stay connected to Raise Nation Radio. And hopefully we'll see you at Raise. We hyped it up enough, I think.
You betcha.
All right. We'll talk to you real soon, Steve.
Thanks, Don.
Bye-bye. Fearless fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Raise Nation Radio, bringing you coverage from the AFP Icon Conference in Toronto, Canada. Listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio and follow your favorite channel because we broadcast everywhere. And this way you can get notifications about all our new guests. I'd like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, an AFP Icon sponsor and exhibitor, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital software solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com and visit the resource tab on the homepage for a broad catalog of free content that hopefully you'll find very helpful. I'd like to thank all of my guests that took the time from their very busy AFP Icon conference schedule to join us at the OneCause booth to talk about these hot-button topics, fundraising trends, innovation, and so much more. I truly enjoyed the conversations. We hope you did too. But I'd like to leave you with one last dose of inspiration. It's one of my favorite quotes from Aaron Hansen, and it goes like this. You can ask yourself, what if I fall? Oh, but darling, what if you fly? So fly high, fearless fundraisers. Thank you again so much. That is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.